Good being back. The Lord is faithful. And so today we'll talk about a few things and maybe we'll interact if we can. But I've been thinking about a lot of things and, you know, the journey we've been taking. I told you many times, today's setting right now in our church, we've got to learn the apostolic doctrine, man. We've got to learn the apostles' doctrine. We've got to learn what the apostles taught. Because the apostles taught, after the resurrection of Jesus, they taught the church how to live. Not just live, but to live in eternal life and live in the Spirit. And that's amazing. So wouldn't it be to our benefit to learn their teachings? And say, for example, like how to walk in the Spirit, how to overcome wickedness and sin, death. How to overcome all of that. They have the answers. You know, how to have peace and joy and long-suffering. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. Heard Julie cautioning everyone again about the spirit of the world and so forth. It's amazing the temptations that come against the people of God. But isn't it also interesting that we as people were born into a mindset of sin and death. So isn't it interesting that our nature just tends to gravitate toward weakness and pride and fear and unbelief, negativity? It is so amazing that the human being gravitates to evil. We just do. And notice something. You may or may not watch TV or stream or whatever you do, but notice how they provoke us now. You take a show that's got striving and fighting and arguing, and they put that in the advertisement, and everybody's like, ooh, I got to see what happens. It's so amazing. I mean, I've never seen one, but I've seen previews of the housewife thing. My God. See, I don't have a housewife like that. Thank the Lord. But those advertisements, they let us know where the state of people are. It's like we're so easily seduced because of the nature within us gravitates towards strife, arguing, and jealousy. How do we fix that? You know, how do we fix that? Well, I've learned a few things in my life. And walking in the Spirit, we say, well, that should be an easy thing. It is. Walking in the Spirit can be very easy, but you got to be willing to do one thing. What do you think that is? Man, I'm gonna hear all kind of answers. And I love them, though. That's the thing. Believe? Yeah, I love that. Be righteous? Yeah, you got to learn to die. You got to learn to love God more than the world. You know, so where does it start? Where does it start? How do we get on this journey? I know we've preached a lot of things. But today, I'm faced with this idea of going back to our origins and looking at something that God had in mind for us. What do you think that is? We could say, well, he wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be his children. Amen. Love it. That's true. But I think there was something God had in mind that he really, really was after. And that was for us to learn and understand good and evil. He wanted us to understand it. What happens when you understand good and evil? You make good choices. That's good. And your heart is right. Anybody that truly understands evil, what do they want to stay away from? Evil. That's true. But evil feels good, man. Tell me it don't feel good. Come on. When somebody makes you mad, and you know they're going to do it, because you know who they are, but they make you mad, but then you still get mad and you enjoy talking evil about them. Because they make you mad. And it feels good sometimes to be mad, don't it? Come on. Don't be lying to me. No, I don't like being mad. I don't like being full of fear. I don't like being full of pride and arrogance. Oh, yes, you do. Because sin and death works in our members. And the devil don't come with horns, does he? He comes with a nice looking hat. The clothes are all slick. And his words are deceitful. Oh, yeah. So does Jezebel. See, they don't come all evil looking. They come sly and deceitful. And that's how we get deceived. But God wants us to understand these things. Good and evil is the story of God. Salvation is the understanding of good and evil. I mean, think about that, John. When you understand good and evil, you'll be saved. You will be saved. Because then you will be as Christ. You will choose righteousness, Micah, over iniquity, just like Jesus did. And you know what happens to you at that point? You get anointed. You get anointed. You know why the Lord can celebrate over those who are righteous? Because they're like him. The communication is the same. I mean, think about it. Have you ever argued with another person, as we've just talked about? You argue with another person because their thought is different than yours. Is that true? When unity is working there, there's love. There's no, I'm better than you. There's a bond of perfection that joins us together. What happens when we as the church come into that same bond of unity and love with the Lord? We have conversations together. And the Lord tells us stuff, Julie. But if you're always afraid of God or afraid God's going to look down upon you or you're evil and all of that, does that separate you from God? It does, doesn't it? So let's look at a little pattern here. In the beginning, God created the 7 days, and at the end of each day, what did he say? It is good. Now, in the midst of that, he created all kinds of things. Beasts of the field, creeping things. He created darkness, all of it. He created a man who did not understand all of good and evil. And yet, he said it is all good. Why could God say it's all good? He understood it. He understood it. So imagine thinking like that. You say, well, some people out here are just evil. It shouldn't be out here. God's going to use it for good to help teach us. Those, like this saying in Genesis, it's meat for the son, or it's learning for the sons of God and the daughters of God. We want to be like God in that way. Well, the serpent got involved and distorted that whole thing and told Eve that if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then you will be a god. You will be a god. A little deception in there. So she eats of it. You know the story. And then in Genesis 3, the Lord makes an interesting statement. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna pop you through a few different scriptures here this morning. We'll just put them right up on screen because I'm not going to stay in one place long. But Genesis 3 and verse 22, and it says this. This is after the Lord has talked to Adam and Eve. He said, then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Notice what it says there. He's become like one of us. Us. To know good and evil. Notice he didn't say he's become one of us. He's becoming like one of us. See, we know good and evil, he says, but there's a difference between us and Adam. What is it? Adam didn't understand it. Do you see God out tilling the ground and working the land? No. You know why? Because he understands good and evil. Those that don't understand have to do works that gratifies the flesh. When you understand it, you won't have to do that. You will rest like God. So we're on a journey here to understand good and evil. In our understanding, we don't just become like God, we become one with God, and therefore we rest with Him. Now, when it went on from there, once God announced that everything was good, all of a sudden evil entered into the picture, and now in Genesis 6, verse 5, He makes this interesting statement. Remember, the sons of God went into the daughters of men? Notice what he says in verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. From the time God created to the fall of Adam and Eve being removed, to the times of the sons of God taking the daughters of men, what happened? Evil took over. That's bad. You know why that's bad? And I say, what I mean by that is, it's bad in the element of evil. Where was the good? Do you think you'll ever get to a place or have gotten to a place where you feel like only evil is present? At that point, that's when you call on the Lord, by the way. Because he's the only one that has good. Now, from there, it's only evil. Thank God that God came down and visited a man named Noah, and Noah was righteous. But think about evil like this. Evil, when it reigns and is in charge, God had to flood the earth. That's a big event. That's a real big event. Does evil matter? It matters because they didn't understand it. What is the problem with not understanding evil? You keep reproducing it? You keep cycling through it? Condemnation? Good answers?
Makes you not think about God.
Oh. There you go. That's a good answer. John said it makes you not think about God. It only reproduces and thinks about the evil. But imagine this. Imagine evil being in charge and no good anywhere. What happens to everything and everybody? Talk about death working. Everything dies. No wonder, Brad, that God gave the law. The law wasn't sent to fix evil, it was to keep it at bay. You hear me? The law was simple. It was just to keep everything at bay. If you got some people who believe God enough and could at least try to obey the law, commandments, then you would at least keep evil at bay, because people would at least say, God said, don't do this. I want to do it, but God said not to, so I'm not going to. Would the law be good? It did a good job. But it wasn't the answer to fixing the problem. That's where Jesus came in. And so we get to that point of evil. Now evil has went into the heart of people. And remember what Jesus said, Matthew 15. Remember when the Pharisees were coming and arguing with Jesus about his disciples eating bread? And it says they didn't wash their hands before they ate. See, now that's a matter of the law. You're supposed to wash your hands. But in the terms of the law, they were arguing that these actions of your earthly hands, your body, you're supposed to do what's right. And the Lord brings something very good here. Listen to this. Verse 10, Matthew 15, verse 10. He called the people to him, Jesus did, and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Now, come on. These are the disciples of Jesus. They're like, I mean, I'm just going to speak our language. Bro. They are upset at you, man. See that evil coming out? They're upset at you. What are you going to do, Jesus? They're upset at you. Did you know you upset them? Jesus is so good. He says to them, verse 13, he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." They didn't come from my dad. They're not of his seed. So that plant that got planted, remember the enemy that came in and sowed the seed? Yeah, while people were sleeping? That's them. Say, where'd they come from? The enemy. The devil has done this. My Father will pluck them up. They will not remain anyway. So they're mad? Don't worry about them. They're not of my Father. Isn't that kind of the way we should treat the devil? And all of his children that torment us day and night? Huh? Shouldn't we treat them that way? That didn't come from my Father. That didn't come from God. Come on now. In this answer right here is a great, great secret that Jesus gave us. How do you treat the lies that come against the word of truth? They're not of my Father. They'll be plucked up in the end, Julie. Oh, they're hanging out around us right now. Wheat grows with the tares. But my Father will pluck them up at the end, and they'll be thrown into the fire. So I'm not listening to them. I mean, that's what Jesus was saying, wasn't he, Brad? That's evil. I'm not listening to them. And so he goes on to say, "Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into a pit." Well, that answers a lot of questions. How many of you have been led by the blind? Have you ever blindly just followed your thoughts, Julie? Where'd you end up? In a pit. Not in a good place. How many has ever been in a pit full of darkness? Come on. Even, so to speak. You say, well, I've never went out here and dug a pit. But have you ever allegorically been in a pit? Come on. You've been in a pit. And you knew it too. Did it feel good? Who put you there? Yeah. Yeah. But you had to get there, you had to be blind. Because it's the blind leading the blind. So if you're there, you got there because you're blind. And I'll tell you, I've had a couple of dreams about being in pits, more than one, 3, 4 dreams about being in pits. And I'm going to tell you something. This, what I saw in those pits, that's not fun at all. It is a darkness, and there are beasts in that pit. And it's a scary thing. But what does God want to deliver us from? The pit. So if you're in a pit, it's because you're blind. So how does God get you out? He opens your eyes and gives you sight. What's he going to give you sight to, Brad? The truth of the revelation of good and evil. And you see, evil to me is not even a problem. Evil is not a problem at all. I guarantee you, it's not a problem to God. It never was. When it becomes a problem is because people believe in it more than they do God. So evil will always be present, but the key for the people of God is to understand it. So the more you understand evil, the more you become one with God. And here's the thing about evil. Let me just throw this in here right now. And I try to teach a lot of people this. Okay? How many of you have ever said, oh, I know exactly what that person is. I know exactly what they are. They're this, this, and this, and you don't like it. They're bad. But then when you get around them, they seduce you into a confrontation and argument and all of that, and you just said, I understand them perfectly. Well, if you did, they couldn't seduce you at all. Isn't that interesting? And yet, here's the thing I've learned, that if I understand someone's parable or something in this world, then why would it make me mad or seduce me in a negative way? Say, well, I'm going over to a family reunion and there's this one family member. Drives me crazy. Well, one of two things. Well, number one, for sure, you can't say that you understand them because you don't. You know them, but if you understood them, they wouldn't seduce you. You can't be provoked when you understand evil. And here's what I'm trying to get to. When you understand the evil that works in the devil, you will see it, you will judge it, you will discern it, but it will not provoke you to become like it. And that's what I use people as examples because in our daily lives, it's the people that provoke us the most, don't they? And we keep saying we understand it, but we keep getting seduced by it. So here's my point, is when you understand good and evil, you've learned. It won't provoke you into the darkness of it. You will remain in the light. And therefore, that's what happened with Jesus. The Pharisees could come to Jesus and try to seduce him all day long. Isn't it interesting that he just wouldn't be provoked? That's what we're going for, is not to be seduced, not to be provoked, because we have learned good and evil. And he reads on. Let me finish reading this. Verse 15, but Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he's talking about what goes into the mouth does not defile a person. So Jesus answered him, verse 16, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled into the drought? You know, you're purged. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, which is fornication, thefts, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Now let's examine this. Notice what Jesus is after. If you're going to discern good and evil, what has to be judged? The thoughts of the heart. Very good. What was in the imagination or the thoughts of the heart in Genesis 6? Only evil. And when the heart is evil, what do you continually act on? Evil. So this has always been about God fixing the heart, isn't it? And when I say fix, what do I mean? Cleanse it. Wash it. Purify it. Because we know if you're blessed, the pure in heart. See God, Keith. That's good. But those who are not pure in heart, who do they see? Well, it doesn't say in that scripture, but what do they see? Darkness, evil, continually. There it is. That's what they see. So when you go to a home and evil is in charge, what is there everywhere? Chaos. Chaos. Corruption. Striving. Ooh, thefts. Murder. All kinds of things. Imagine that. But when good and evil are understood, what begins to translate into the home? Now, the home being the church, the body, the kingdom, put it all in the same. God wants us to understand good and evil. And so when you look at this, you're going to see that he cares about in the heart come forth evil thoughts. So we know where they come from. Now we've been taught the problem. The problem. Everybody say, you could say, I'm the problem. But Paul said it this way. It's not I that sin, but sin that dwells in me. Brad, what happens if you remove the sin? You're free. You don't sin. If sin is the problem, evil, what if you remove it? Or the understanding comes to it. There you go, Megan. Where is that? Find that. Let's put that on the screen. Job 28:28. Put that up there. Now, that's good. Funny, that scripture, we've said that for years. Is it up there? And he said to the man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. Depart from evil. Turn away from evil. Turning away is a repentance, isn't it? So departing from evil, understanding. That means you have understanding. Now, I said all that to say this. It took me a long time to get there. In the Old Testament, there's all kinds of rules and orders of the law. Well, I told you why that is, right? The law came just to keep evil at bay. Man, God said people are evil. So I'm going to give them this law and I'm going to tell them what to do. And it won't fix their heart. But if they love me in any way, they'll try to obey it. Now, does that sound like anybody? Has anybody in here ever said, man, I got a real heart problem, but God said, so I'm going to try to do it. Because I love God, man. Haven't you said that? Like, I love God. I am going to try to obey him today. And in the day, you go, well, I failed a little bit. Maybe a lot. But you know what you say? I'm going to do better tomorrow. I am doing better tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to pray more. Notice where the mind goes. Tomorrow, I'm going to read an extra chapter. Just because God's word is present and I should be reading it. That's what we tell ourselves. Now, it's a law. But you know what? I love the law. You know why? Because it keeps evil at bay. And you may say, well, I don't want to be under a law. Well, if your heart's not right, let the law be there, man. Please. Because the more people that do good, Micah, and at least try to obey God, the less evil is manifest. Because I'm going to tell you, man, I mean, when you've looked at somebody's stuff before, have you ever thought, I'd like to take that? Maybe not. We're older now. Maybe you don't think like a thief anymore. But when I was a kid, got caught for stealing several times. My kids got caught for stealing. Your kids get caught for stealing. Come on. And you got caught for stealing something. Why? Because it's there. But when you know better and you know God, what do you start telling yourself? Don't take that. It's not mine. And you say, well, I really want to fight with this person, but I'm not going to. Why? Because I want to obey God and I'm trying to be better. Good for you. That is a vessel who wants to get closer to God so God can change your heart. That's why the law is good. It just keeps evil at bay. But then, all those laws, because they didn't work, the New Testament comes along and Jesus comes and shows us how to walk in the Spirit by faith in God, right? That's awesome. Say, well, we preach enough about Jesus, man. We need a lot more every day until we're converted. But here's the thing I want to, I said to get to this part is the New Testament is so simple because in the midst of the New Testament, and I preached this a few weeks ago, but I wanted to revisit it. In the New Testament, they summed up everything with just a couple of different things. Good and evil. Good and evil. You have a new man, you have an old man. You have love and hate. You have light and darkness. Right? And as you work through, you have corruption and incorruption. And you have the ability to choose good over evil because it's been simplified. You don't have to go to the law and say, well, is this exactly right? Do I have to worship a certain way? Do I have to pray a certain way? Do I have to do all these things right? No, it's real simple. Love God. Love God. Love God. Love God. And what do you want to do, Julie? You want to love everybody else, and you want to do good, and you want to depart from evil. Because in God changing you, the revelation has always been about learning good and evil. It always has, from the very beginning. God said, I want to teach you good and evil. I divided everything in the 7 days of creation. The devil steps in, creates a rift. Well, now you have to learn evil the hard way. And is that fun? Everybody? And when you learn good and evil, that doesn't mean your neighbor will. So who do you still got to love? All of a sudden your neighbor became your enemies? Yeah. So the revelation is simple. If you want to live for God, know good and evil. And the last scripture I'm going to read to you is found in Hebrews 5. And you know it very well. We've read it a dozen times. And I think it's in verse, let me see here. Verse 11, I think. The writer of Hebrews is talking about Melchizedek. Which is deep subject, right? Verse 11, he says, I have much to say, or about this we have much to say. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. What keeps you dull of hearing? Oh, not understanding good and evil. That keeps you dull of hearing. But see, when you're told the truth, if you don't like the revelation of good and evil and you don't want to overcome evil, you're dull of hearing. It will block your hearing from learning. So is reproof good, Brad? Is instruction good? Is correction good? Oh, it is. And if you can hear and be instructed in good and evil, you'll lose the dull of hearing and the blindness. Your eyes will be open and your ears will be open and you will hear. But if someone comes to you, of the Lord, of course, and tries to show you where you're at in God and it's not that good, and you don't love it, you're dull of hearing. You're blind. And it puts you in a pit. So what do you want to be? You want to be receptive for God to change your heart. But the thing we want to get through is learning to exercise in good and evil. And that's what I'm reading here. He says, I want to tell you more things, but you're dull of hearing. What he's saying is you're not exercised. You can't handle the truth yet. That's big. Because what happens, Micah, when you can't handle the truth? Micah's been so mad at me before. I was so mad at Rick before. I'm sure Brad's been ticked at me 100 times. 101. All because of being told the truth. And we don't like it. Right. It's like, I know, but I didn't want you to tell me. Yeah, why did you tell me? You know, and then so we have these things. I want you guys to be able to handle the truth. Deal with it, right? If you can deal with the truth, you know what you'll start learning? Good and evil. How many of you think you know good and evil? No one wants to raise their hand all of a sudden. Especially when I just said you'll start learning good and evil. You're like, wait, huh? Start learning. I've been in this thing 25 years. I was learning good and evil when we started out with 2 or 3 witnesses. Every word will be established. This equals this, Marty. Don't you know? I know good and evil. But I'm telling you, you'll know when you start to learn good and evil by how you receive the word of truth. That's how you'll know. If you're not good at receiving reproof and correction, then you're not learning good and evil. You're dull of hearing. If you still get mad and offended at learning where you are in God, you've not learned good and evil yet. And I'm saying you want to. You want to. Well, let me finish this verse here. Then I'll be done today. Verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, not meat. You need milk. And he's saying, if you're going to be a teacher, you're going to be eating strong meat. You're going to be discerning good and evil, right? Verse 13 says, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. This amazes me right here. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness. Keith, this means so much to me right here. Because if I'm going to be walking in righteousness, Brad, I need to be above milk. I can't live on milk and expect to be righteous before God. I'm going to miss things. I'm going to not discern things. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And we know the King James says to exercise. our discernment. Well, we could use all the parables of being a child. You have to grow up, right? Do children understand all good and evil? Isn't it amazing? Kid will go to anybody. A lot of kids will. Or do anything. Run out in the street without looking. They're not exercised. Well, you can't just let a kid walk out. I'm going to put you in evil so you can go learn it. Walk out into the street. Learning finished. And you know what? You didn't learn anything. You died. So jumping into evil, do you think you learn evil by being in evil all the time? Come on, everybody. But we say that. How do you know unless you go through it, you say? Huh? See, did Adam learn anything being Adam? Or did he learn when Jesus came? See, you only learn good and evil through Jesus Christ. So don't rejoice and say, well, I'm going through evil so that I can learn it. Huh. What if Jesus just came and told it to you, Ann? That'd be better, wouldn't it? So my point is, when you're a child, that's true. The same parable we have of eating solid food versus milk as a child, you got to grow up and you start introducing solid food. Then you get to meat and so forth. But the parable is there. I'm saying in the New Testament, the Lord has given us the answer to understanding all things. Get exercised in good and evil. Say, do I exercise by experiencing evil? No, you can exercise learning evil through other parables and not falsely judging them. Now, I just said a big, big thing, everybody. You can learn all the evil you need through other parables if you're not offended by them. Just learn them. Well, I don't like you, so I'm staying away from you. Why? What if you could learn something? What if you could discern it correctly? And then that's where you start exercising. And I'm telling you, everybody, good and evil is your answer to oneness with God. The revelation, understanding good and evil, is your answer to oneness with God. Because in the beginning, they were like God, but they didn't understand God. When you understand good and evil, you'll understand God. You'll understand why God lets evil work. You'll understand why bad things happen to people, to good people. You'll understand why the world the way it is. You'll understand why heaven is the way it is. You'll have all your answers answered. I should have said, you'll have all your questions answered. You'll have all the answers to all of those questions. And it all is in good and evil. What do you guys think about that? I know we just did some teaching today. But these are the things right here that the apostles understood, and they walked in resurrection because they understood good and evil. And this is how the apostles said, I'm not going to neglect the word of the Lord, but I'm also not going to fall prey to the devil because I understand him. I know his purpose. Even when God lets him after me, I see it now, right? That's what you would say. I see it now. I get why the Lord lets persecution come. I understand that now. And I rejoice in it instead of getting mad at it. I understand why my kids and my family and they deal with all these things. I understand it now. I understand why God lets it happen. I get it now. And you're full of peace now. You're full of joy now. And then you hope in God and you trust in God and you still pray and you seek the Lord because only He can answer you. And it just all makes sense. And so when you're confused, it's because you don't understand good and evil. You don't understand it. Confusion is a side of that. Well, you guys continue in the truth. And these things we're teaching, man, they'll help you. I promise you, they will help you in your daily life with God. That's just awesomely. And we'll continue to learn. But I ask one request of you as you go with good and evil. Everybody in this room, you know good and evil, don't you? You know what good is and what evil is. There's still stuff you got to learn. I know lots of it. But when you know to do good, do it. It's sin if you don't. If you know it's evil, what do you want to do? Resist the devil. Then he'll end up leaving. There you go. Love you guys. And I'm praying for you every day. And believe God for you. We're going to get closer to God every day as God visits us. And closer just means you can hear better.